Chapter 11. The beeps of the machines and background thrum of energy cables triggered a sense of comfort in Korax as he stepped into the sterile chamber of the new GeneTech facility. Centrifuges whirred, and servitors plodded from workstation to workstation with samples and tests. Vincente VI, divested of his armor, sat at a bank of five screens, data tables and helical displays large on the monitors. At a long table covered with data tablets and instrumentation, Nexin Orlandrias pored over a transparent sheet, idly tapping the fingers of his free hand against an empty crucible. Six looked over his shoulder as Korax strode across the tiled floor. Orlandrias was too absorbed in his work to notice the arrival of the Primarch. The thud of the servitor's metal-shod feet disturbed the peace. The clacking of a crude teleprinter burst into life as an analyzer spewed out its latest findings. On closer inspection, the room was balanced on the line between order and anarchy. Six's area was tidy, disciplined, and compact, while the Magos's work sprawled over several desktops and was piled on trolleys left haphazardly around the tech priest's high stool. "You reported significant difficulties," Korax said, stopping to look over Six's shoulder at the displays. "What is the problem?"
"Compatibility," said Orlandrias, emerging from his contemplation, massively dilated pupils shrinking as he focused on Korax. "The Emperor did something to streamline the Primarch material, to create the Legionis Astartes template, but the possible permutations are too numerous to investigate. My mathematical analysis suggests it would take at least 5 years of continual study to narrow down our options to a number more suitable for physical experimentation."
Korax looked at Six, eyebrow raised. "It has only been 20 days," said the Primarch. "A little early to admit defeat, isn't it?"
"The Primarch genetic coding is vastly more complex than standard Raven Guard gene seed," the apothecary explained. "The Emperor extracted only a few elements of the original data to create the Legionis Astartes strain, and about a dozen more in the Legio Custodes data we retrieved from the Terran Vault. To isolate the rapid maturation and cell cloning abilities you desire and graft them onto our own gene seed, we have to retroactively engineer the Raven Guard gene seed with the appropriate sequence. There are millions of sequences that might be applied, even from a single Primarch strand, and there are 20 unique Primarch codes to choose from."
"Take this one, sample 4, as an indicator," said the Genitor Majoris. "We have managed to identify at least 6 unique subcomplexes and protein strands geared towards physical durability above and beyond that found in the others. In the same sample, there is a dearth of certain enhanced genes that, in our estimation, boost the cytoarchitectonic structure responsible for the development of nociceptors and proprioceptory function. The deficiency seems to be deliberate. In Subject 6, there is a whole suite of genetic encoding derived from a non-human source, possibly canine. In Subject 20, a whole suite of growth-boosting augmentations is absent. In all, we have catalogued 783 variations between the samples. This leaves the common core material, the Primarch essence, for want of a better term, exceptionally small compared to what I expected."
"I see," said Korax. He knew enough about genetic manipulation to understand the problem they were facing, but even his extensive biological knowledge was insufficient to propose a solution. He stared at the screen for some time, letting the revolving images of different cell helices float into his consciousness. He studied the data tables, absorbing the information without consciously reading it, hoping it would trigger some insight from the Emperor. All he could remember was sadness. It was a struggle to keep motivated, to repeat the research that had taken so many centuries to perfect. All had been swept away by what? Korax could not quite remember. The Emperor's memories were blank on the matter. The Primarch concentrated on what had happened after the period of ignorance. There was hope in his heart. His ambition had been misplaced. Rather than create 20 superhuman warriors, he could create thousands, hundreds of thousands of next-generation soldiers. Each would have a fraction of the power of the Primarchs, it was true, but their numbers would more than make up for the difference. Korax held an image for a moment, a picture of rank after rank of armored warriors, fists and banners raised in salute. He would create an army. Something more than an army. A legion. Intellect fired by his imagination, he set to work with this new goal in mind. There was no need to create this legion from a single zygotic embryo. Humanity numbered in its billions just on Terra alone. Through Korax's thoughts, the Emperor discarded swathes of the Primarch genetic data, deemed redundant in light of his new plans. He focused on amending all of his findings from the Primarch project, filtering out those abilities and traits that could only be gene-bred from inception, concentrating on transferable, implantable genetic strands. The Primarch latched onto those memories, delving deeper. As he did so, Korax edged Six aside and pulled a touchscreen interface closer. Hesitantly at first, he began to tap the screen, navigating his way through the mass of coded information. His fingers picked up speed as the memories came, faster and faster. Fingertips dancing over the screen, Korax delved into the intricacies of the Primarch genes, separating out those sequences and proteins discarded by the Emperor, following in his creator's remembered footsteps. The shifting displays and tables blurred as the Primarch continued, isolating gene fragments and cell duplication segments, tossing some aside, moving others into a separate partition. For 5 minutes, he worked at furious pace, linking unconscious recall to conscious action. Orlandrius had moved up beside him at some point and was staring at the flow of information spreading across the screens, nodding ferociously while he muttered to himself. Korax stopped, taking a deep breath as he straightened.
"Masterful," whispered Orlandrius.
"Perhaps if you could spare us 5 more minutes, Lord, we could solve the whole problem," said Six, grinning broadly.
"If only it were that simple," said Korax.
He had not worked out anything, simply remembered it. The Emperor had never attempted to create what Korax sought, and so there was no base of knowledge for him to recall.
"That still leaves you with 72 different gene strands to analyze." "A moment, please," said Orlandrias, laying his hand on Korax's arm as the Primarch turned away.
Korax glanced down in annoyance at the Magos's clutching fingers, noticing that the tech priest's fingernails looked to be made of a dull bronze. Realizing his error, Nexin took his hand away and nodded his head in apology.
"Forgive me, Lord Korax," said the Magos. "Whilst taking a break from our analytical studies, the Chief Apothecary and I engaged in a debate that was without resolution. I seek your opinion on the matter."
"What debate?" asked Korax, darting a look at Six, who was frowning at his companion.
"It is my belief that your plans could be taken a stage further," said the Magos.
"It is out of the question," said Six, making a cutting motion with his hand. "It is against our every principle."
"What is?" said Korax.
"It seems that we might actually make our task easier if we were to incept the project from an initial cellular generation rather than hybridization of an existing organism."
"Cloning," snapped Six. "The Magos thinks we should clone new warriors from scratch rather than modify the gene seed for implantation. I reminded him that there are many more complications associated with such a process, not to mention the problems it will create in the future."
"Your arguments were irrational," said Orlandrias,
scowling back at the Chief Apothecary.
"Emotive."
"Every possibility must be explored," said Korax.
He raised a hand to silence a protest from Six. A passing thought of the Emperor had surfaced in his mind, a philosophical point his creator had concluded when the Primarchs had been taken from him.
"With that said, direct cloning must be considered only as a final option if there is no other solution. Magos, there is good reason why the Emperor did not directly clone his new legions from a single template cell. The resultant legionaries would be identical. Without the random mutation present in the wider human genetic structure, there is no possibility for variation. The Legiones Astartes are successful because we are similar, but not identical. Qualities such as leadership, intellect, and aptitude for different disciplines allow us to be flexible and to fulfill many roles. Even the Primarchs were not created equal in all measures. The Emperor understood the importance of variation. Beyond that, there is another consideration. The Legiones Astartes are humanity's warriors, separated and superior in many ways, but always raised up from amongst those they lead and protect. A legionary may be a neo-human,
but he was once human. A legionary is the incarnation of the Emperor's plan, a perfect symbol and example for mankind to aspire to, not simply a tool of war. It is humanity that the Emperor will lead in the conquest of the galaxy, not some new species made to order in a laboratory.
Thank you, Lord, said Six with a sidelong look at Orlandria's. More eloquent than I could ever phrase it.
I understand your position and reasoning, said the Magos. I will comply with your direction.
Make it work, said Korax. That perfect symbol has been tarnished by Horus. I would see it shine brightly again.
The atmosphere in the docking bay changed as the Primarch entered. Commander Bran followed a few steps behind. Navar Hef felt the increase in tension and reacted, standing just a little straighter, puffing out his chest just a little further. It was only the second time he had seen the Primarch in person. The first had been on his acceptance into the recruits for the Raven Guard. Now Korax was here, only 8 days after his return to Deliverance, ready to inspect the next generation of recruits. Navar's eyes followed the Primarch as he strode along the gallery at the end of the hall, as did 299 other pairs. It was testament to the Primarch's thoroughness that he was taking the time for this, when there would be so many other demands made upon him. The 300 novitiates stood to attention, a block of black-robed young men with lean bodies, close-cropped hair, and eager eyes. Navar felt the wave of pride that flowed through the group as Korax nodded his head in acknowledgement of the massed recruits. A simple, easy gesture for the Primarch, but one that spoke of a respect that could not be matched by any other individual save if the Emperor himself had come to see them. The orders for the recruit company to pack their few possessions and gather at Ravenspire's Centris Terminal had started a wave of speculation throughout the novitiate blocks adjoining the Great Tower. Navar was of the opinion they were going to be shipped out direct to the fighting, as many were. He had heard, second-hand, unfortunately, of the losses the Legion had suffered on Istvan V, and knew that Korax would not take such a defeat lightly. Some had said they were being evacuated to Terra, that Deliverance was under immediate threat, and the whole Legion was retreating. Navar had argued against such naysaying. The Raven Guard would defend their home to the last man, he was sure of it. There were some who claimed that the story circulating about Horus's treachery was simply a test of their determination. Rumours circulated by the Primarch to see who had the fortitude to be a true legionary. Some, a boring few in Navar's opinion, reckoned that after the hiatus following Bran's departure, the normal procedure was being implemented and they were simply being moved on to the next stage of their training. Navar was equally dismissive of these claims. He knew he was an able fighter and physically superior to most of Deliverance's youth, but at 10 Terran years old, he and many of the others were simply too young to begin the enhancement process yet. That Korax had deigned to address them personally added to Navar's conviction that something out of the ordinary was occurring. His idle thoughts melted away as the Primarch spoke. Korax's voice was quiet but assured, full of conviction and authority. It was impossible not to listen, and Navar quickly forgot all of the rumours and gossip, drawn in by the Primarch's irresistible tone.
You have proven yourselves to be exemplars, the fittest and brightest humanity has to offer, said Korax. Every new generation of Raven Guard are to be lauded and celebrated as bearers of the Legion's traditions and future warriors of the Emperor. Those of you gathered here will be more than that. You will embody the Raven Guard and the ideals of Deliverance like no others before you. You are shortly to become legionaries, and you should take pride in that. Yet you must also reconcile yourselves to a burden the likes of which no previous generation has borne. Korax leaned on the metal rail of the balcony and bowed his head for a moment, eyes closed. When he opened them, Navar felt swallowed by their blackness, his awe evaporated, replaced by dread. As Korax continued, much of what you have heard in recent days is true. The War Master, Horus Lupercal, is a traitor to the Emperor. The Raven Guard have suffered badly from his treachery, and our strength is much diminished. You will be the first legionaries that start us back on the road to recovery, the first generation to fight for a return to glory. Your elevation takes place at a time more troubled than any in the Legion's proud history. You will be tested, physically and in your hearts, like no other legionaries before you."
The Primarch's mood brightened, and it seemed as if the hall itself lightened in reflection of this.
"Take heart that you will not be found wanting. Your dedication and courage will not fail. As novitiates, you have proven yourselves worthy of bearing the colors of the Raven Guard. The ignorant may look at you and see fresh faces and young hearts, but they do not see what I see. I see the same valor and pride in you that I saw in the eyes of the young men and women who fought beside me to free deliverance. It is their example you must follow, and their example that you will surpass. If you don't believe me, ask old Bran here. I remember when he was just a babe, mewling for his mother's teat."
Navarre laughed along with the others, amused and not a little disturbed by the thought of the hoary commander having once been an infant. The laughter subsided as Korax's expression grew grim again.
"The trials begin now. Your patience, endurance, and trust will be sorely tested by what you are about to undergo, but they are nothing more than practice for the tribulations that await us further down the road. You will act as Raven Guard. You will endure and grow stronger."
Korax lifted a fist above his head.
"I salute you, recruits of the Raven Guard. Your transports await. You leave Ravenspire as novitiates, but will return as warriors of the Legiones Astartes."
"For the Emperor and the Legion!"
bellowed Bran, duplicating his lord's salute.
"For the Emperor and the Legion!"
Navarre shouted along with the others, raising his fist as high as he could reach, straining to make his voice a manly roar. There was a time for stealth and a time for violence. Since he had arrived on Kiavar, Omegon had exclusively practiced the former. But he felt a sense of release, almost joy, as the sentry's head imploded within his closing fingers. Flicking skull fragments and slick brain matter from his gauntlets, Omegon stepped over the twitching body, while Rufan and Elias stooped to pick up the corpse. The two Alpha Legionnaires casually tossed the remains into a nearby chem pool. Noxious fluids bubbled as the body sank, releasing methane-tainted puffs of air. With gore-stained fingers, Omegon wrenched aside the bars across the sewer inlet, the corroded steel turning to flakes in his hands. Turning sideways, the Primarch lowered his bulk into the channel beyond, the culvert barely large enough for his armored frame. A thin sludge of slimy effluent trickled along the bottom of the rockcrete tunnel, stinking but harmless to his enhanced physiology. As they entered, the ruddy light from outside grew dimmer. Omegon activated his suit lamps, two cones of yellow springing from powerful emitters fixed around his eye lenses. Treading carefully, footfalls muffled by rubber-like overshoes, the three warriors of the Alpha Legion advanced 40 meters up the gently sloping pipe, stopping by another barred opening. The barrier was no more obstacle than the first, and within a few seconds, Omegon was stepping through the breach into the room beyond. The chamber was hexagonal, the ceiling a little higher than the Primarch could reach with his fingertips, the floor coated with a thin layer of chemical effluent fed by inlets on each wall. Looking up, Omegon was pleased to see that Armand Aloqui's information had been correct. A circular access hatch punctured the center of the ceiling. The building had once belonged to Aloqui's guild, now turned into a communications relay for the Mechanicum. Elias and Rufan lifted Omegon up so that he could reach the rusted turnwheel. After a little initial resistance, it spun easily in the Primarch's hands. A clank signaled the disengagement of the lock. Omegon pushed open the hatch, took hold of the lip and pulled himself up, shoulder pads scraping the side of the hole. At a crouch, Omegon turned around and headed in the direction Aloqui had told him, while the other two dragged themselves up behind.
"Cutter,"
said Omegon, holding out his hand behind him. Rufan took the device from his belt and placed it in Omegon's grip. It looked like a snub-nosed pistol, two gas canisters where the magazine would have been. Thumbing the valve open, Omegon pressed the trigger, and a white-hot flame erupted from the muzzle. Reaching above him, the Primarch turned on the spot, slicing an almost complete circle in the metal decking above him. When he was done, he turned off the cutter and passed it back to Rufan. Shuffling back a few steps to give himself space, Omegon lay on his back and kicked upwards. The rough circle of metal broke free and landed with a clatter on the floor above. With room to stand now, Omegon examined the small alcove he had broken into. A nest of wires crisscrossed each other from dozens of circuits and switches. In a few seconds, he had analyzed the layout, creating a schematic in his head. There was not a communication system he could not access, and this one was crude by Mechanicum standards. Opening up a plate on his right vambrace, Omegon pulled free several wires and plugged them into the required sockets in the switching boards around him. He activated his communication suite, quickly scanning the frequencies around him until he could home in on the signal he was looking for. An insistent beeping became louder in his ear, and he turned left and right, rearranging and rewiring a few of the relays to fine-tune the signal. On the roof above, the dishes would be turning on their gimbals, aligning themselves towards deliverance.
"Efrit code, Hydra 7 Omega," grated an artificial voice.
The Primarch smiled as he locked down the receiver. The words he had heard, confirmation of what he had hoped for. At least one of his legionaries had succeeded in infiltrating the Raven Guard.
"Access cryptoduct. Theru Gaeli Tarnurum," said Omegon.
The words were meaningless syllables, known only to the twin Primarchs.
"Geon Sacrit Kes."
There followed a few seconds of static as the connection was established with a tiny, stealth-fielded satellite that Omegon had left in orbit over deliverance. It was no larger than a fist, just a piece of debris, but the cryptoduct device was capable of detecting, decoding, and recording any signal within a narrow range of frequencies, frequencies known only to the Alpha Legion. He was also able to implant messages onto the cryptoduct for access by others. It was the perfect go-between, ensuring that both sender and receiver were anonymous, and since it could be accessed from anywhere within several hundred thousand miles, their locations would remain unknown.
"Lord Efrit, this is Alpharius," said the message.
Omegon smiled again. It was a conceit, perhaps, but never failed to amuse him.
"Infiltration successful. Objective identified as Primarch genetic data. Location is Raven Delve. Awaiting instruction."
The transmission ended. Omegon had been expecting many things, but not this. Korax had access to the Primarch project. The implications were immediately obvious, both the risks and benefits of the current plan. For a moment, Omegon considered changing his objective. If the Raven Guard were able to rebuild their legion with this knowledge, the swift victory of Horus and the ultimate destruction of the primordial annihilator could be put in jeopardy. The prudent approach would be to destroy the technology before its secrets could be gleaned by Korax. Despite that, Omegon could not quite convince himself to follow this course of action. The danger presented was but the weight on one side of the balance. On the other side had to be set the advantages of claiming this technology for the Alpha Legion. Omegon didn't doubt that Korax had a good chance of cracking the Primarch gene seed open, certainly a better chance than the Alpha Legion, even with the assistance of the Order of the Dragon. For the moment, it would be best to allow the Raven Guard to continue their investigations. When they had discovered something of value, the secret could be stolen and the Raven Guard destroyed. If the discovery was of the magnitude Omegon imagined it to be, it would herald a new beginning for the Alpha Legion. To possess the secrets of the Primarchs was a prize worth a few risks. With everything the Alpha Legion did, there was always some extra agenda that could be forwarded, some additional objective that could be achieved. In the case of the Raven Guard, Omegon and Alpharius had decided that they would first relieve the Legion of the Terran technology that would be imparted to them, and then the Raven Guard would be destroyed, with all news of the event carefully contained from both the Emperor and Horus. Kiavar would become loyal to Horus, and finally the Raven Guard would live again, with Alpha Legionnaires masquerading in place of the dead Legion. The scope to cause confusion and mayhem would be vast once Omegon had achieved these three goals, and he paused in his work and grinned at the thought of it. He adjusted his connection to the relay, switching to a transmission format.
"Efrit code, Omega 7 Hydra," he said. "You are Contact 1. Assigned subchannel Alpha 3. Orders will be forthcoming."
As he cut the link, Omegon noticed something else he had not expected. He checked his findings and found his initial instinct had been correct. The signal to the cryptoduct had been made from a triple secure Raven Guard source. That it came from Ravenspire was not a surprise. That it was on the highest level command channel was.
I wish there were some soundproofing down here, said Six, walking between the cages that had been built in the western vestibule. A cacophony of howls, growls, whines and screeches heralded his progress along the corridor. I am worried the recruits can hear all of this racket.
I am sure I will be able to obtain some form of sonic dampening field from one of my fellow magi, replied Orlandrias, walking beside the apothecary.
Out of the question, said Six. The Primarch was clear in his instruction. No contact with the Kievaran Mechanicum. Even your presence here suggests something of what we are working on. It must remain undisclosed.
A grave mistake, I am sure, said the tech priest. Aside from that technology which we recovered from Terra, the facility here is exceptionally sparse.
You think that the resources of the Raven Guard are limited? Six was incredulous, almost stopping in his stride. You realize that we have been implanting gene seed into recruits for decades.
Yes, and the systems you use have not progressed at all in that time, replied Orlandrias. Even without the Primarch data, I am positive I could have increased your productivity by 10, perhaps even 15%.
We are not a manufactorum, Nexin. The creation of legionaries is not a production line process.
It will be when we have completed our task.
The chief apothecary's reply was silenced as the door at the far end of the corridor opened, revealing Commander Agapito. His expression was all Six needed to know that their latest report to Korax had not been received well. The commander of the Talons stalked along the passageway, boots ringing loudly, snarls and spitting erupted from the nearby cages.
You don't have to say anything, Commander, said Six as he came up to Agapito. Lord Korax wishes for more encouraging results, yes?
I hope you have at least a small success story I can take back to him, said Agapito.
He glanced into the cage to his left and shook his head with disgust at what he saw within.
He is keen. No, that doesn't really convey his mood. He is adamant that you proceed beyond these pointless trials and begin work on perfecting the formula for the recruits.
Pointless?
Orlandrias bunched his fists and his lip twitched in irritation.
I am sure the Primarch would be even more angered if we had turned his first batch of legionaries into these.
He waved his hand to encompass the long line of cages. Beyond the bars, mammalian and reptilian things hunkered and paced. Some were unidentifiable, little more than mewling, distorted conglomerations of flesh. Most were warped by oversized muscles. Others had bony growths, splitting their scales or fur. Several had extra limbs, additional eyes, overgrown fangs or distended spines. A green-furred mouse the size of a dog lunged against the bars of one cage, its claws sheathing and unsheathing spasmodically, tusks protruding from its lower jaw. In another enclosure, a two-headed snake, several meters long, coiled menacingly, its tail tipped with a jagged barb. From every cage, deformed monstrosities glared and snapped, regarding the legionaries and tech priest with predatory intent.
Korax thinks it is a mistake to use animal subjects, said Agapito. He does not suggest that you introduce the new gene seed directly to the recruits, and Bran certainly won't allow it. By the other hand, introducing Primarch genetic material to non-human hosts will never be successful.
Then we are caught in a bind, said Six. How are we to ensure the new gene seed works if we cannot trial it in organic hosts? Our data modelling can only prove so much.
That is not my problem. It is yours.
We will have to return to base cell analysis, said Orlandrias, eyes fixed on a massively shouldered lizard with horny growths protruding from its spine. We can certainly eradicate more of the anomalous reactions.
But nothing of cerebral impact or behavioral side effects, said Six.
Aggression is not necessarily a bad thing in a legionary, said Orlandrias.
We'll leave the mindless ferocity to the world-eaters, replied the apothecary. We need disciplined, efficient warriors.
What shall I tell Lord Korax? Asked Agapito.
He will expect me to return with some news of progress and a firm plan for resolving any problems.
Six and Orlandrias looked at each other. The apothecary sighed and nodded.
I'll euthanize these abominations and study the cellular breakdown, said Six. That should give us some new data to incorporate into the models.
I will restart the base cell experiments with a modified gene seed, said Orlandrias.
How long? Asked Agapito. I understand that you need to get this right, and I will support you in every way I can, but the Primarch is understandably impatient. Every day we spend now is a day closer to Horus being ready to launch an attack on Terra.
When we are successful, time will not be an issue, said Orlandrias.
He pointed to the creatures in the cages towards the far end of the corridor.
Those are the results of our implantation since we compiled the latest report. We introduced the genetic template into infants to record the time required for full maturation of the gene seed.
The animals in the cages were full grown, some of them showing the mutation of the others, but a few seemed to be ordinary specimens, large for their species, but otherwise normal. Agapito shook his head in confusion and amazement.
You only submitted your report 40 hours ago, said the commander.
37.3 hours, to be exact, said Orlandrias, smiling thinly. Given the longer maturation period of the average human male, I estimate the entire process, once perfected, will take between 70 and 80 Terran hours.
Agapito shook his head again, this time with a grin.
That is remarkable. 80 hours to turn a boy into a legionary. Well, in body at least.
Not just physiologically, Commander, said Six, now becoming more enthusiastic. Our recruits will emerge from the process with mental and physical aptitudes beyond anything we've seen before. They'll be quick learners, too. A little bonus of the Primarch material. Our new legionaries will be primed and ready from the outset.
That is fascinating news, said Agapito.
To pass on to Korax, of course. Take as much time as you need to complete the gene seed. There is no reason to proceed with anything less than a perfect sample. I look forward to hearing of your success as soon as possible. If what the Primarch says about broadening out the recruitment base is true, there could be a near limitless supply of legionaries. I'll inform Lord Korax of your findings.
Yes, Commander, said Orlandrias.
Agapito and Six exchanged nods of respect before the commander strode away. Neither apothecary nor tech priest said anything until the door at the end of the passage closed behind Agapito.
I am pleased the commander seems so eager, said Orlandrias. His brother has been much more reticent in his approval of our project.
He used to be one of the staunchest Legion traditionalists, Six said distractedly, still looking at the closed door. He and Bran were hard-headed about their deliverance heritage, hammered it into me and the rest of the recruits from the first day we were made novitiates. I suppose losing so many warriors on Istvan has changed his mind about being so selective.
I fear he may over-represent our progress to your Primarch, said Orlandrias. We should continue our studies with a degree of alacrity.
Agreed, said Six. If we cannot produce something tangible soon, Lord Korax may become even more impatient. I've never considered him rash, but he is very determined to begin the rebuilding.
Adversity often creates desperation, said Orlandrias.
Not ever, snapped Six, rounding on the tech priest, remembering words spoken by his Primarch during the long retreat from the Dropsite massacre. We are Raven Guard. Deliverance was born out of determination and perseverance. Strife is our sustenance. Adversity is our ally. Attack, withdraw, and attack again. That is our creed, the lifeblood of the Legion. The Raven Guard do not become desperate when circumstance does not favor us. We become more dangerous. The slap of bare feet on black-painted ferrocrete brought back memories to Alpharius as he stood watching the recruits running circuits of the main hall. He knew the memories were not his own. They had been removed by the Alpha Legion's librarians. But the recollections were exceptionally vivid, coming to him as brief snatches, scenes and tableaus that lasted a few seconds each. His training had taken place in Ravenspire rather than down here on Kiabar, but he had performed the same drills as the youths around him.
"Ready, weapons!"
barked Bran from the stage area at one end of the vaulted chamber. "Form up for firing practice!" The recruits dashed to the crates at the centre of the hall and took up simple automatic rifles from within. These were training weapons, duplicating the weight and bulk of a bolter to a full-fledged legionary. Without gene seed enhancement, even a full-grown man could not train with a proper Legionis Astartes bolter.
the snap of magazines being slipped into place joined the patter of running feet. In groups of five, the recruits lined up in front of Bran's position. He waved each squad forwards. Panting, red-faced young men lifted their weapons to their shoulders, took aim at the ceramite target tiles on the far wall, and opened fire. The rattle of shots and tinkle of expended cases filled the room. After firing for a few seconds, the first group peeled away and the second squad took up position. One of the recruits was struggling with a magazine on his weapon and approached Alpharius.
"I can't get it to eject, Sergeant," said the boy, face screwed up with frustration.
He looked up at Alpharius. The novitiate's eyes were just about level with the bottom of the legionary's breastplate.
"It's stuck solid."
"Calm down and try again," said Alpharius. "What is your name, novitiate?"
"Hef, Sergeant," said the recruit.
He struggled again with the release catch, sweaty hands slipping on the smooth metal of the rifle.
"Navar Hef."
"Let me see," said Alpharius, holding out his hand.
He took the rifle, examined it quickly, and handed it back to Hef.
"The last round did not properly clear the chamber. Look."
The novitiate examined the rifle, shamefaced. He manually expelled the spent casing and then ejected the magazine.
"Punishment 10 laps, said Alpharius. "Battle pace. Move."
Hef took hold of his rifle properly and set off towards the edge of the hall, perspiration glistening from his shaved scalp. Alpharius could hear him counting out the rhythm of his strides between gasping breaths. There was innocence and dedication there. Hef was a fine recruit. It was a shame he would be killed along with the rest of the Raven Guard. Alpharius felt uncomfortable at the thought, more than uncomfortable, in fact. He was not sure how he would define the emotion that made his chest a little tight as he watched the novitiates continue their weapon practice. Guilt, perhaps. It certainly was not a sensation he had felt before, and the Alpha Legionnaire did not like it at all. He cleared his throat in agitation and snapped out a reprimand to a pair of recruits who had sagged down to a crouch at the back of the line. They stood up sharp at his words. It seemed such a waste. Korax and the senior commanders would never be moved to join the Alpha Legion, but these novitiates were fine young men who would be ideal recruits for the Legion. Their deaths seemed a little unnecessary. Alpharius was not sure where these doubts were coming from. He blamed the false memories. They had been increasing in recent days. He could clearly recall the first time he had set out from Ravendelve into the atomic wasteland, though nothing of what had happened after leaving the armoured compound. Names of fellow legionaries haunted him. Raven Guard that had fallen on Istvan. His fellow legionaries referred to them sometimes, and he would have a flash of a face, or instinctively smile at some half-remembered joke, or briefly relive a moment in battle alongside the fallen warrior. He had to focus. He was not a legionary of the Raven Guard. He was an Alpha Legionnaire. His Primarch was not Korax. His oaths had been made to Alpharius and Omegon. In their wisdom, the twin Primarchs had chosen to back Korax's rebellion, and he had to trust that it was for good reason. The fall of the Raven Guard, the taking of the gene tech, would serve a greater purpose. Holding on to that thought, Alpharius suppressed the memories bubbling up from the depths of his altered mind. "I am Alpharius," he told himself. "I am Alpharius." Descending the ramp of his Stormbird, Bran was surprised to find Controller Ephrania waiting for him in the docking bay. She held a data slate, which she wordlessly passed to the commander as he walked towards the bay doors. With so many lost at Istvan, legionaries and ordinary humans alike, the Controller had been promoted from Strategium Officer on the Avenger to the Command Center at the tip of Ravenspire.
"What am I looking at?" asked Bran. "I've come back to answer a summons from the Primarch."
"Transmission data, Commander," said Ephrania.
She took the tablet back for a moment, tapped the screen twice, and returned it to Bran's grip.
"As per your orders, we conducted a survey of all communications logs that the Wordbearer's chaplain had access to, both from Deliverance and via Kievar's network. We detected several anomalous transmissions."
"Anomalous?" said Bran.
Pistons wheezed as the great doors to the dock opened up in front of him. He stopped to look down at the controller.
"Be more specific."
"Non-mechanicum and non-legion frequencies and channels, Commander."
"Not that surprising, really," said Bran, resuming his stride. There are many commercial vessels, Imperial Army ships and other non-affiliated ships in the system.
These transmissions have a Legionis Astartes signature, Commander, Ephrania said patiently.
Bran stopped again and studied the tablet with more deliberate intent.
The controller was correct. There was a Legionis Astartes cipher and modulation pattern to the recorded transmissions. All are flash traffic, Commander, continued Ephrania. Compressed, in my opinion.
Wait. I recognize this transponder code, said Bran, highlighting one of the entries with a jabbed finger.
Yes, Commander. It is a Ravenspire access cipher, the controller said.
Her voice lowered as she continued,
I came to you directly because of that. It is Commander Agapito's broadcast channel.
I see, said Bran.
This information perturbed him, but he assured himself his brother would be able to offer a sensible explanation for its purpose. That did not explain the mystery of the remaining transmissions.
What of the others?
Some are old Lycaean security frequencies, and two are on the defunct guild networks, Commander. Impossible to pin down a source, but they originate on Kiavar.
Dissidents, no doubt, said Bran.
A significant peak in traffic, Commander. Previous communications detected on those frequencies were sporadic and clustered. The pattern here is more sustained. I believe it might signify some attempt to re-establish the old guild structures.
Good work, said Bran. I will take care of this matter from here. Nothing to get too worried about yet. I shall perform further investigations before I distract Lord Korax with this information.
As you wish, Commander, said Ephrania with a bow.
Wait a moment, said Bran, as the controller made to step away. Contact Commander Agapito and request him to meet me in my chambers in an hour.
Yes, Commander.
And set up a monitor on Commander Agapito's channel. Let me know if there are any further irregularities.
Yes, Commander. Is that all?
Return to your duties.
Ephrania strode down the corridor, leaving Bran with uneasy thoughts. The pro-guild sympathizers on Kiavar were stirring up trouble, he was sure. It was inconvenient, but not a significant threat. It would be simple enough to inform the Mechanicum of the matter. He took a step and then stopped with a hissed curse. If he warned the Mechanicum of any surge in dissident activity, they would be required to perform a scouring of the rad wastes, or at the very least intensify their observation and security of the area. That would lead to greater scrutiny around Ravendelve, a turn of events Lord Korax would be keen to avoid. Bran rubbed his chin, caught between courses of action. He was sure that the dissidents could pose no military threat to the facility, but their timing was inconvenient. With so much out-system traffic coming through the star system at the moment, it was quite possible that agitators sent by Horus were stirring up trouble to keep the Raven Guard occupied. It was just a theory, and he would need more solid evidence before it was worth notifying the Primarch. Lord Korax was intent on the Gene Tech project, spending most of his time bunkered up in Ravendelve with Six and the Tech Priest. Even when he was back on Deliverance, the Primarch spent most of his time poring over the reports and studies, incommunicado except for urgent matters. Unsure how to proceed, Bran realized he was going to be late for his meeting with Korax. He folded up the data tablet and hurried along the corridor, hoping the Primarch would not remark on his tardiness.